It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 320. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and listening to the show. Please remember to visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me suggestions for future show topics or any question. My email address is miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message. I have a voicemail I'm going to get to later on. The phone number is 240-949-2450. And we also have the wiki at mtswiki.com, where you can get links to everything that I use, the software and hardware, and my setup for the studio. Also, there are links to all of the Mike Tech Show archives. You can follow me on Twitter to find out when there's going to be a show, and I'm going to go over the schedule for this weekend right now, and that's twitter.com/MikeTechShow. I have a great show lined up with lots of, I think, interesting topics, and then we'll see if we have time to get to some email. Well, tomorrow night, Friday night, I am co-hosting Computer America with Carrie Holzman, and I haven't done that in a few weeks. It's been a while, and I'm excited about doing the show with Carrie. We will definitely be talking about what we've been doing and getting back on the horse for doing Tech Vets. I know you're going to want to hear that, and I will post that up as a Tech Vets show. Next, there's a show, a special Mike Tech show, this Saturday morning at 10 a.m., and I have some real special guests. The show's going to be on security and thumb drives and encryption. So we got lots on hand. Keith Albright from Mind of Root will be joining me in the studio. And then also Winston Wolf, who, as you know, he's joined me on some shows. He's a regular listener and contributor to the show. Done a lot of roundtables together. We do a lot of consulting together. Really excited about him coming out for this weekend and joining me. So got lots on tap. Hope you don't mind. And it's been a while since I've done a bunch of shows like this. I can't wait to do it. Well, let's take care of business and then we will jump right into things. Anytime I can avoid getting in my car and driving to a meeting and the gas, the traffic, the tolls, where I can avoid that, I will use GoToMeeting, great online service to hold my meetings. And that's because it's easy to set up a meeting. You just go to GoToMeeting.com and one click, people can join your meeting. You can hold unlimited meetings each month for just one flat rate. It supports voice over IP. There's a great tool set to help you present online. And not just present, but hand off presenting. You can have multiple presenters and you can hand off the presentation very easily. They can highlight and bring out things within the presentation. It's a great service and you can try it free for 30 days, but you got to visit gotomeeting.com/techpodcast. That's gotomeeting.com/techpodcast for your free 30-day trial. For the first topic, I want to talk about something that has happened in the Philadelphia area, well, actually in Philadelphia. Philadelphia has announced that they are going to start taxing bloggers. They are going to force bloggers to pay for a business license. Now, it's not all bloggers. It's bloggers that are making money. Well, guess what? I agree with this. If you are blogging and you are getting an income, you are a business. And if you live in Philadelphia, you are subjected to whatever the business license fees are. It just so happens that a business license, you have to spend one time for $300. Now, when I lived in the city limits years ago, I had to pay $200. So they've raised it $100. Now, you can complain about that, about them raising it from $200 to $300. I don't know when that occurred. But not for charging. If you're making money, then you are a business. And you know what? You have to report it. And if you live in Philadelphia or wherever you live, there is a business license to operate a business in the area that you are a resident. I agree with this. And I know there are going to be a lot of you out there that are surprised. But let's think about this logically. Because there's been a lot of discussion. I've received a lot of email about this. And there's been a lot of discussion in the Tech Podcast Network where everybody's been talking about this and voicing opinions. And I've been pretty quiet because I've been saving it for tonight's show. Someone in the pre-show mentioned, well, what if you're not making $300? How are you going to afford that? Well, here's my recommendation. If you cannot cover the cost of the $300, why are you taking money? Don't do it. Stop and keep your blog free and free of income. If you only make $10, well, don't do it. Because guess what? You're going to lose $290. I recommend that if you're in Philadelphia and you have a blog and you are generating income, make sure you can generate $300. And then when you do, then you can pay for the business license. Now, remember, it's a one-time fee. But I cannot support someone who does not want to pay for a business license, yet they want to operate and own a business within the city. It's not right. It's not fair. That there is a fee. That's what it is. And you have to comply. Remember, they're not taxing bloggers who are not making money. If you are not making anything, then you have nothing to worry about. It's only if you're generating income. That's my opinion. I understand. Now, some of the other ridiculous taxes that Philadelphia is trying to, they have this sugar tax for sodas that they were thinking of and the trash. Now, remember, I don't live inside the city anymore, but I disagree with the way they are going about taxing everything else. But this one, all they're doing is coming after people saying, hey, you have a business. You're making money. So guess what? You live in the city, you have to have a business license to operate. It's just like any kind of hunting or fishing license. If you're going to do it, that you got to pay the fee for the license. Whatever it is in the area, whatever you're doing, you have to comply. So look into that and consider that in the city or area that you know you live in. And if you're starting up something that may be generating revenue, be careful of some of the fees and licenses that may be required because now you are a business. I think this is something that would definitely you want to consider before you embark upon a project that may be generating money. You want to make sure it's going to generate enough to pay whatever taxes or fees are going to come along with operating that business. Next, I want to talk about some work for one of my clients who has multiple point of sale systems, and they're all wired and they're all connected to a virtual LAN. So I have a VLAN set up because of PCI compliance, because they're swapping and taking credit cards. So these point of sale systems, they're all wired. Well, now my client wants to have a couple of these workstations, these point of sale systems, wireless. Now, they talk to the manufacturer, and the manufacturer says, no problem, just buy a USB wireless adapter, plug it in, load the driver, hook it up, just standard wireless, no trouble. I said, are you sure about that? And the director who I'm working with on this says, yes, no problem. Talk to the manufacturer who they manufacture the point-of-sale systems. So we order a Netgear access point, and then a couple Netgear USB adapters. So I go down last Tuesday and I configure the access point. It's perfect. Get that all configured onto that the wired portion of the network. I add security, all the things that are needed to set up the access point. I now take the adapter over to the point of sale system. Now, first thing you realize, there's no CD drive. And I'm okay. So I copy the contents onto a USB adapter. Then we find there's only two USB ports. I need a keyboard. I need a mouse USB. I then need the driver that I have. And then I also need the USB adapter for the wireless adapter. So now we have to have a hub. Now the hub, we plug into the one port and we add the mouse, the keyboard, and the drivers. On the other port that's connected directly to the machine, I wait until I'm prompted with the driver to plug it in. Well, once I do that, Netgear's driver starts looking for some files, and it comes back, and there's an ARBUSB_XP.sys, I believe. It cannot find it. And I'm like, what's going on here? And then it dawns on me. What operating system am I working on? It looks like XP, feels like XP, but it's not standard XP. It's Windows XP embedded. So it's not a full XP Pro. And once I realize this, I'm like, the light bulb goes on, and I don't think these adapters are compatible. We get on the phone with the manufacturer of the point of sale system. They say, oh yeah, that's right. You can only do this with XP Pro based point of sale systems. Well, guess what? My client doesn't have any. So they go back and they are going to research an adapter that's going to fit, work for this. Or my client has to get a couple new point of sale systems that has XP Pro. Well, it's later that day and I'm already at home. And I get an email for an adapter that they recommend. It's a Linksys, and I'll put the model in the show notes. So there's a certain Linksys model, and I've already purchased it already online, that supports Windows XP embedded for the driver. At the same time, Keith Albright calls me to let me know that he can make it this Saturday for the show, and I mention what I'm going through. He ran into this very same thing on his job, and he said, here's how we solved it. We used a wireless Ethernet bridge. This bridge literally does not require a driver. It's a box that has a wireless connectivity that you can program to connect to your access point, but then it has a plug that plugs directly into the Ethernet port. So it's Ethernet to wireless, and it bridges the Ethernet network to a wireless network. I never thought of it. What a great idea. And it's usually used for gamers in the gamer world, where if you don't have a wireless adapter, but you only have an Ethernet and you want to hook to a wireless network, I never thought of that. It's a great idea. I got one of them too. So what I have now, when I go back next week to get this resolved, I will have two possibilities to work with and to be able to try them out. And one of them's got to work. So I will have links to all this in the show notes. That's one client solution and story that I've ran into trying to get wireless on the point of sale system. Here's something that I was talking with a listener who does consulting work and computer repair work. And we were talking this week, and the following topic came up, and I thought it was good to talk about this on the show tonight. He has a client that has asked for a proposal for a server to take their application that they currently have in a peer environment, on a peer, sort of a peer server, and move that to a full-blown server. And he wanted to know what that would incorporate and what that would take, because he doesn't have the hands-on server experience as he does the desktop experience. And one of the first things I started going over the requirements for a server and what you would need to properly implement a server. And to do it right, you have to have server class hardware, whether it be Dell or HP. And I'm not talking a desktop that's running a server operating system. I'm talking a real server, and even a low-end one. It's going to cost you a couple $1,000s. Once we get the server, now you have to buy the operating system. The operating system is going to be Small Business Server 2008 or Windows Server 2008. There's reasons for why you would want to do one or the other. And Small Business Server, which most of my clients have, has Exchange Server built in and SharePoint and lots of other server-based products. You can set it up as a domain controller, but it has some limitations. It is the only domain controller that can be on the network. You cannot have a second domain controller. So there's limitations there, and I'm not going to get into all those details. But once you get Windows Server 2008, even standard version, that's a lot of money. When you look at what the license cost for the server operating system, it's a lot of money. Now, half that price is Small Business Server. But again, there's some limitations and some things you have to consider. So now you have that. Well, if you want to put antivirus on there, guess what? There's no free antivirus software for the server operating system. You're going to have to spend some money. Now you're going to have to back it up. The backup price, just to give you an example, like in the Shadow Protect world, your price for the desktop software is $99. Guess what the price is for server? It's $1,000. So a factor of 10 is the pricing for the software that it takes to maintain and operate a server. When you're in a situation and you're either it's yourself, your business, a friend, family, client, and someone's thinking of a server, you have to ask yourself, what do you want to accomplish? Why do you want a server? And there's only two reasons. Security, where you want to truly log into a domain and you need to lock down the accounts. You want to lock down the shares, the software, the permissions, and you want to authenticate on a domain. And there's lots of reasons to want to do that. But again, usually it's security and it's security related. Two, does the application require a server? Maybe the application you want to run is a database and requires SQL Server, or there are special server requirements for the software. So what's the application that you want to run? Does it require a server? If it does, there's your other reason. But that's it. Most of the time for lots of small businesses, if you want to just share files, you can, and most companies do, most small businesses, they'll set up a workstation, create a share, and then maybe even create accounts locally to secure it, and then share that out on the network, make everybody part of the same work group, and they can access the files. One of the problems that you run into, in order to properly lock down the share, you gotta add file level security by creating accounts on that peer workstation, by creating an account and setting a password. You now, on each workstation, have to create that same account and it has to have that same password. That's the only way you can properly lock down a share and files in a peer workstation network environment. So keep that in mind when you're looking at whether you want a server or not. Keep that in mind when you are advising someone or you want to understand whether the requirements of should you enter into having a full-blown server. If you do, you're now entering into another world where now you're going to probably have to run Active Directory, DNS, and so there's lots of server-based technologies that you're going to have to learn and understand, and you may already know that you're going to have to incorporate when you're deploying a real server. I just wanted to cover a couple of those things. I have a voicemail that I want to play. Give a listen.
Hey, Mike, this is Fred. Just calling. Let you keep you up to date with what I've been doing with my backup. After listening to a couple of your shows about backup, I got Mosey Backup, online backup, and using that for a while. But the latest software actually added a new feature that lets you, as does it your online backup, it also do a backup to an external hard drive at the same time. So you basically got that backed up twice, once local and once online. So it does it both all, you know, it keeps it all simplified, real easy to do. So I just thought I'd pass it on. Thanks for the great show.
Thank you very much for that. And Mosey, a service that gets a lot of good press and lots of good comments about the service. There's so many out there, and I've done shows on different services like Carbonite, and you have Jungle Disk. As long as you are backing up, back up to an external device, and if you can, back up to the cloud. Back up to something online, so if you have a disaster, you can recover your files. So an online backup is very, very important. Remember, it's not if your drive fails, it's when is it going to fail. I have one more link that I want to talk about. This was referenced by someone this week, and his name's Mike, and he's actually in the chat, and he recommended Bounce Back. And I've heard of it once, but I've never looked into it. Bounce Back creates a full functional clone of your Windows system. And if the drive fails, allows you to literally bounce back. Check this out. The prices don't seem real, you know, too outrageous here. For the full version, for Ultimate, for download, it's just $69. Check that out for backing up your desktop or your client's desktop or someone's desktop. We have so many options here, but the best option is the one that's going to put you back to a state, not only with your data, but all your programs and the operating system. So keep that in mind. I have a stack of email that I promise I will get to on another show. But tonight's show, we're going to keep it short because I have a lot of work to do this weekend and this week, and I have so much to do tomorrow that I actually am going to edit this show and get it posted out tonight. I want to play some independent music, and I guess it's more than independent when she has her own CD out now. Well, Liz Longley has a brand new CD, and I received it this week. The CD is titled Hot Loose Wire, and what I'm going to play is a cover song of a Van Morrison song called Moondance. Give a listen to this cover.
It's a marvelous night for a moondance. Need the stars up above in your eyes. Fantabulous night to make romance, neath the cover of October skies. And all the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow. And I'm trying to please to the calling of your heartstrings that play soft and low. And all the night's magic seem to whisper in hush, and all the soft moonlight seems to shine in your blush. Well, can I just have one more moon dance with you, my love? Well, can I just make some more romance with you? Well, I wanna make love to you tonight. I can't wait till the morning has come. And I know the time will be just right. And straight into my arms you will run. And when you come, my heart will be waiting to make sure that you're never alone. There and then all my dreams will come true, dear. There and then I will make you my own. And every time I touch you, you just tremble inside. I know how much you want me, that you can't hide. Well, can I just have one more moon dance with you, my love? Or can I just make some more romance with you? One more moon dance with you in the moonlight on a magic night. Round, 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 round in the moonlight on a magic night. Round, 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 round. Boom, da, boom, dee, da, boom, da, ba, dee, da, boom, da, ba, dee, da, boom, da, ba, dee, da, da, boom, da, ba, ba, da, da, ba, da, da, ba, da, da, ba, da, da.
That is Liz Longley doing the song Moon Dance from Van Morrison. And you can get that song with lots of other great songs on her new album, Hot Loose Wire. And I will have a link to her website, which is just LizLongley.com. And you can purchase it. And when you purchase it, you'll have it in a couple days. I got mine in a couple days. I highly recommend it. Great artist. And she is from Philadelphia and continues to produce incredible music. I thank Liz for that. All right, that is it for tonight's show. And don't forget to join me Friday night and Saturday if you can. And don't worry, if you can't make it live, come back to MikeTechShow.com. You'll be able to download the audio for all of my appearances and all the shows. Have a great weekend. Please remember to continue to support the show by going to MikeTechShow.com and clicking on the links on the left-hand side of my website. That's what really helps keep the show going in terms of contributions to the show. I really, really appreciate it. Thank you for your support. Remember, we got the Amazon link, the computer repair kit, Steve Cherubino's videos. Thank you so much for all of your support. I'll talk to you next week, or actually this weekend. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.